Hello, welcome to Game Changer. Monday through Friday, David Villa and our crew dive into God's Word and talk about how to take principles from the Bible and apply them to our daily lives. Thanks so much for listening, and here's our host.
All right, what's up, guys?
Happy Tuesday.
Good morning.
Good day.
Morning.
Ready to masquerade around here?
I'm pretty sure that this, I didn't want to mess my hair up, to be honest with you. And I was afraid that this would be like too tight at the last minute, so I was like holding it up for a second. What do you guys think? Masquerade, these are masquerade, right? Masquerade.
Yep.
Masquerade mask.
I love how David, the girl of this relationship, didn't want to mess up his hair.
That's right.
That's actually comical to me, but hey, we're comfortable with who we are in this relationship.
These are cool. Like, these masquerade masks fascinate me. Like, we're gonna go into a little bit of a backstory of masquerade mask, but you got a couple like horses and some knights. Like I would have thought, like, you know what's really cool? Let's put some horses, some knights riding like some stallions. With a bunch of like pearls.
I kind of thought of Beauty and the Beast when I chose mine. I was thinking kind of a rose, like pretty exterior, but can be prickly sometimes.
Yes.
Kind of interesting. But yes, do not agree with that. Just so you know, apparently when you took your mask off, you took off wisdom.
Wait. Hold on, let me say it. You don't know who I am. Yes, yes, she's right. So we're in day two of mask. You know, I looked up the story of these things, and it's going to kind of fascinate you, the backstory of this. It's actually not a good thing, but it actually is so relevant for what we're talking about here as believers. And imagine, let me read the story here. So imagine walking into a ballroom of an old Italian castle. All right, so a beautiful woman twirls around the dance floor. Your eyes meet hers behind an elegant mask, right? You have a mask on. As her dress floats above the golden tiles, she smiles coyly, extends her hand. Any other day, you would be hesitant. But today, with your mask, you're free of inhibitions, right? This is a power mystique of masquerade balls. So we've established that people wear masks for different reasons. And today, really, we're looking at masquerading. Who are you masquerading as? You know, who have you masquerade as, right? I believe wearing mask, I mean, as it shows here in the story, and we'll go into it a little further, wearing mask gives freedom to be someone else. But is it really freedom? You know, we understand that, you know, we find true freedom in our life with Jesus. That's real freedom. But sometimes you and I aren't content with that, right? We have the still the sinful desire, the fleshly desire, the things in our life that we still don't want to give to God. And we think that is the opposite of freedom. By having to give those away, that would require my freedom. And the reality is that is going to give you the freedom. So wearing mask possibly could give freedom to someone else, but is it really freedom? So in the masquerade story, so it's masquerade balls were a favorite, and this was in the early, I think, 17th century when these really kind of came from. And so it gave the ability for someone to dress up, still look sharp, and remain anonymous. But look at this. Where did the idea of wearing mask to dances come from? So scroll down. Let me just read this. This is going to fascinate you. This is one part, and then we're going to jump off of it. We're not here to talk about the foundation of masquerade balls, you know. But so during the Middle Ages, listen to this. Christians would observe carnival season. So you thought that your family, you thought that your aunt was a carny. Let me just tell you that this came from a long time ago. Christians would observe carnival season, and it was the last chance. Listen to this. This is really interesting. This enlightened me. I did not know this until studying this. I had no reason to know this. This was the last chance to indulge on all the food and wine possible before fasting for Lent. So they were getting ready to consecrate themselves, you know, at that time, you know, in the season, fasting for Lent, basically give themselves to the Lord. So people held parades. They wore masks. They danced in the streets, Listen to this. All social restrictions were cast aside. The poor were able to mingle with the wealthy. So it didn't matter what class you were from. You know, the mask, you know, hid your identity. So if you normally wouldn't associate with, you know, a lower class would never be seen, you know, at one of these events. They could masquerade as someone different and you'd never know. And so social restrictions were cast aside. Wealthy and poor were mingling together. In addition to giving up meat, Christians, we're talking about Christ followers here, were supposed to abstain from unholy acts during Lent. As a result, tryst with masked strangers were permitted to put these desires to rest. So they literally, because they wore a mask, were able to have affairs, to have situations, to indulge in whatever they want, because no one knew who they were, so to speak. And so they used this piece of paper or cloth or whatever they used at that time, however extravagant it was, to hide their identity and to get it out of their system, so to speak. And it fascinates me. It was labeled as a night of debauchery, like a night of doing whatever you want, just because somebody wouldn't know who you were to be able to call you out the next day. Think about that. When I think about that in the masquerade balls, who are we? And this is where that story you mentioned this morning, I think, not knowing how really came into full effect when you talked about Peter. Diana brought up a really good point. I'll let her share that. But if you think about this, who are you trying to hide your identity from? Because, you know, think about this for a second. They weren't hiding their identity or what they did from God. He knew. So they were hiding it from man or from the system of being judged so that they didn't have to, you know, account for what they were doing. How many times in your life, maybe you didn't wear a mask, maybe you didn't go to a ball, but how many times in your life did you find yourself chatting in the wrong thread? How many times in your life did you find yourself, you know, walking into the wrong place, right? But you know what? I'm in a different town, or you know what? I'm in a different place, or you know what? Nobody knows. My wife's asleep, or my husband's not around. How many times did you find yourself doing that? And then we look at this and we say, you know what? As long as this is hidden, right? As long as this is hidden behind the mask, great. You know, I can walk into church on Sunday. I mean, I know I'm getting a little deep here for a second, but this is kind of what the Lord really dealt with me on. You know, maybe not that deep, maybe not that serious, maybe not that sinful as the world would label it, but how many times have we hid our true identity? You know, we walk in a place and we have the opportunity to be an example for Jesus, or to say something, or to speak up, or to, you know, not put a post, or to write something, or to comment in the right way, but we don't, right? Because we're hiding our identity, or we're afraid to reveal our identity.
I just was reminded this morning when I was just getting ready and just thinking and praying, listening to music and asking the Lord. I actually had never really thought about that, but you know, we think about masks as hiding, but one of the things they're meant to protect, but sometimes we're protecting ourselves from the wrong things, right? So at the Last Supper, Jesus looks at Peter and says, "Simon, Simon, Satan desires to sift you as wheat. Before the cock crows three times, you're going to deny me." And Peter's like, "No, I'm not. I won't, Lord. I'll go unto death with you. I'll do all these things." And the whole story is, at some point, he ended up putting on the mask like, "No, I'm not a Christian. I'm not a follower of him." Why? The very thing that he knew, that, you know, Jesus was put to death to protect himself, right? So sometimes we're trying to protect ourselves from things and that we don't need to protect ourselves. But the amazing thing is God knew, right? God knew. God knows us. He knows our hearts. He looks beyond all of our exterior, and he goes right to the heart of the matter, and he knows it. And he knew that there was things in Peter that would cause him to hide, right? But here's the crazy thing. Go on. I mean, I've got to imagine that, you know, he said that the first time the cock crowed. I know Simon had to have been kind of like, coincidence. Second time, whoa. Third time, And how many times have we been in those situations, like we're in one of those things, or maybe we're not partaking of what's going on, but we're kind of in that surrounding, you know, whether it be a thread, or maybe we're somewhere where we probably shouldn't have been, and we're not, you know, really being the light in that place. Not that we're necessarily doing anything wrong, but we're entertaining things that we know that are contrary to our faith or what we believe or where we should be at. So we're kind of like in that, and you have that, it's the Holy Spirit in us going, ugh. But then at some point, as you kind of go, that you have this rising up, and Peter obviously was the one used in the day of Pentecost to say, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. So that's the awesomeness of God, right? He knows us. He knows we're going to have those situations where we kind of like hang out in the shadows, put on our mask. He knows that. I think we need to be, you know, aware of those and be able to come out of those things quickly, take the mask off quickly, because it's really not about us, because we can bring a message of hope and deliverance and joy, peace, whatever someone's needing in that situation, or just like, hey, you know, speak positive things, whatever it is. But God still used him, even though he knew, right, in the beginning that was going to happen, and he was going to deny and put that mask on. I was like, no, I'm not one of them. And we've all kind of been in one of those situations. I mean, I can think of, you know, a family outing where, you know, a family gathering, great family outing that you kind of, you know, they know you're a Christian, and yet they kind of, you know, they'll say something like, oh, no, it's like, you know, whatever, but we don't talk about our faith. We don't stand strong in our faith. But at some point, Peter had to be strong and courageous, right? And stand up and say, come to a point of recognizing I denied him. I put my mask on. I wasn't true to my core values of my faith. And then he had to stand up and say, this is that which was spoken. So, I mean, I feel like masks sometimes they can be meant to protect us from the wrong things, right? Mm-hmm. So sometimes we use, and then I'm also thinking like biohazard, right? They put on protective gear and masks to protect them from harmful things. So I think there's seasons where the Lord allows us to put these protection mechanisms in our lives to protect us from harm, spiritual harm, or even real harm. But at the end, there's sometimes that we put them on and God's not requiring us to put them to, because we think we need to save ourselves from something or protect ourselves from something instead of actually being free before the Lord to allow the Lord to use us or to set us free in that area or whatever.
Well, yeah. Well, I actually, if I could just make one thing maybe to point out, I don't know if ever we're supposed to put on mask of the world. And that's not what Diana meant, but like just to clarify, you know, the mask, there's never a time to put on the mask of the world. I think what it is that God gives us a mask. Like when we become followers of him, we are given a mask. Let me just give you an example, because we're not Jesus, but the Bible says greater things will we do because of Jesus living in us. I mean, we're not the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit envelops us. It comes in us. And so the reality is we're not naturally children of God, but because we are saved, we become heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We're grafted in to the family. We're adopted into the family. We're made one of his children. And so the reality is we're given a mask to put on. So I think where Diana was talking, because I'm thinking like firemen, you know, you got to walk. Listen, you know, you go into a room or house or building full of smoke without your protective gear, you will die, you know, of smoke inhalation. You know, if you, I was thinking of something this morning. You mentioned just now biohazard, but I was thinking, you know, we're not made to live underwater. I mean, look, if you dive, you know, you dive underwater and you stay there for the period of time that's beyond you holding your breath, you will die. You know, you don't have gills. You're not made to swim underwater, but there's protective mask and gear, you know, that you can see underwater, and then you can breathe with scuba gear and things of that nature, but it's designed for a limited period of time. I think that God has given us these life-giving mechanisms, these mask in him, so to speak, that we're to put on him. It even says to put on the whole armor of God, put on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith. These are things that we aren't born with, but we're born again with. These are not things that we are equipped in ourselves with, but we're equipped in him with. And so, you know, one of the things I wanted Mike to pull up earlier, right, the identity, that one first, the identity definition, the fact of being who or what a person or thing is. You know, and I really think that definition, more the second one, is a close similarity or affinity, but the first definition, the fact of being who or what a person or thing is. And that is, I think, you know, what we as believers are. We become like Jesus. We become a part of his family. And, you know, we are not him. We are not perfect. We become part of what he did. What he did, he included us in that identity. So to the point where when we stand before, because of the advocate, because Jesus is the advocate for you and I to the Father, and when he saves you, when you gave your life to Jesus, he applied his blood that he shed on the cross. This is where the story of the cross comes in. He did it on the cross, just him. He's the only one that could have. He's the only one that did. His blood that was shed because of that experience on the cross. When you and I, 2,000 plus years later, whenever it is, accept him as our Savior and give our life to him, then the blood from Calvary is applied, and what he did on Calvary is applied to our life today, washes over our sins today. And here's the thing, it's so powerful, the mask that he gives you is so powerful that God himself can't see through it. It says that God sees Jesus. When you and I stand before him, we're going to have to give an account for what we've done. But so the only way that any person, you, me, or anyone listening right now can make it into heaven is the fact that the blood of Jesus is applied to the things, the sins that you committed and I committed, so that God no longer sees those things because he can't look on sin. He sees the blood applied. He sees what Jesus did. And so he looks at the mask. He doesn't look at what we've done in our life. And I'm going to tell you, that's powerful. And that's identity. So it's the fact of being who or what a person a thing is. Your identity is found in him. So Peter didn't realize this. Diana told that story. But he, out of fear, put back on the mask of the world. Or you could say took off the mask or covered the mask of who his identity really was now, because his life had been changed. And he put on the mask or took off the mask, however you want to look at it, and he had the mask of the world on. So he blended in, even though he was totally different. And they kept trying to pick him out because there was remnants of Jesus on him. And he finally got to the place where he convinced them, hey, by a speech, he basically shifted into a complete masquerade and said, no, this is who I am. You got it wrong. And but Diana pointed out, after he repented, he stood up 50 days later, and not only did he stand up and get it right, he put on the identity of Christ, stood up in front of thousands of people. He spoke and proclaimed boldly. Now, you're talking about danger. Danger 50 days earlier was minute to those people that were around that fire compared to standing up where he did 50 days later in front of everyone and declare that this is that was spoken by the prophet Joel. But when he got finished speaking, in his identity, yes, in the mask, in the power of who he was and whose he was. Listen to this. It said that 3,000 people were added to the church that day in that sermon, in that message. That's how compelling walking in your identity. That's how strong and powerful walking in your identity, wearing the mask of Jesus, right? The mask of Christ. Amen? Is. That's powerful right there.
That's good. I'm a little bit speechless because you added more. You know, like, you're right.
That's what we do for each other. You do that all the time for me.
The masquerade thing, that's pretty awesome because I've always wanted to go to a masquerade ball.
Not now.
Not now. I'll tell you, there's some things about masquerade balls I didn't know.
Like, we ain't going to a masquerade ball.
But, you know, you can relate that to things, those areas of our life that we dabble in secretly. You know, those are those things, those masks. You know, I'm thinking of, and there's not bad things, you know. So, for instance, gaming is a thing, a stress relief for some people that go in and gaming. But I think that sometimes if we're not careful and don't put those in check, those open doors of conversations with people that, you know, are not appropriate, or, you know, even Facebook or Instagram or, you know, whatever, or, you know, in marriage, you know, and I'm going to talk about things that people don't like, but, you know, pornography is rampant, and it's crazy to me because it's typically attached to men, but it's a male and female thing, right? And I was reading some statistics on that a couple of months ago, and I was like, wow, I didn't really realize that. But those things, and then we wonder how those are open doors. So we have to be careful what we hide behind, because those open small cracks in our armor of God, right? Mm-hmm. So we begin to weaken areas of the armor of God over our lives. Our, you know, our helmet of salvation, our breastplate of righteousness, our waist is girded with with truth, right? Shield of faith. Our feet are
shod with the preparation of the gospel.
Yes.
Peace.
So we start making little chinks in our armor, and that's what those areas. Those masks sometimes put little chinks in our armors, which makes a weak spot, which allows the enemy. Look. An arrow is not going to come through my breastplate, right? Mm-hmm. But if I have allowed there to be an area of that damaged, and the enemy knows, right? He knows our weaknesses, and it allows him to penetrate a place that was meant to protect. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think that's really important. It's those little things. You know, when I was talking about there are times that you have to put on a protection mask. Like, for instance, if you're in the car, when Ashton was little, we were driving down the road and we were coming up on the interstate and we were coming up around the curve. It was raining. And as we came up on the interstate, I began to hydroplane and I ended up, and it was only the hand of the Lord. I'm not exaggerating. It was like the most craziest thing. I slide across the four lanes and stop. So I come up and then I slide and spin. When I stop in the shoulder, the moment I stopped, I was facing the traffic, but I was in the shoulder and cars came, and Ashton, it was kind of like she was sleeping, she kind of woke up, but I couldn't be in go berserk. I had to have a mask of, hey, everything's okay, but inside I was a wreck. So I think sometimes God does allow us to have protection masks,
protective
and that's what
gear.
I meant, that protective gear. Like, there's certain places that we have to be. You know, if you're with your children, you know, you're facing, you know, certain challenges. Obviously, I do believe in being honest and transparent so that your kids grew up understanding that there are challenges in life and then how to overcome them. Like, so I think, like, one of the things David's mom and aunt talked about, they never heard their parents argue, which I think is an amazing testimony.
Not my kids. We made up for it.
They're like, la, 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 la.
We made up for it.
They did that. But at the same time, when I look at certain things, sometimes when I, and my mother-in-law, she's, you know, gone to be with the Lord, and then, and her twin sister's here.
Today,
and they're awesome.
Today's 7-year anniversary of her
passing.
Wow.
So, amazing, but at the same time, because they didn't see conflict, sometimes they had a hard time in dealing with conflict, so they ran from conflict and didn't address it. And that's not a bad thing. I still think an amazing testimony of how they never seen that conflict. But I think there's those times that you have to keep that stance. But then I think it's okay to be able to teach your kids, or you know what, hey, you know, no, we're not going to do that. But actually speaking to your kids and saying, no, we're not going to stop at McDonald's or wherever. I'm just trying to think of where kids want to go, and say, we're not going to do that because we're actually, we're saving money, or we're making cutbacks to be able to teach your kids how to budget. Or I know you want that, you know, awesome pair of tennis shoes, and that's great, but we're going to show you how to save to get to that point, to teach them. Because I'll be honest, our parents, both Dave and I's parents, And maybe not, I guess I shouldn't say necessarily about my father-in-law, but they worked. My mom's still working. My mom is a hard worker. My mom's always been the type of person that's had several jobs and never had a problem working. But none of our parents, and my dad, he's gone on to be with the Lord a year and a half ago, but they didn't teach us about preparing how to budget. Like, literally, David and I got married, and we had to go open up a bank account, and we had never paid a bill.
Oh, you got to deposit money in here to open it?
Like, water? You got to pay for water? That's like a necessity. Why do I got to pay for that?
There's a creek out back. I don't need to pay for water.
So you have to be able to, you know, be strong, like, even when maybe at your kids growing up, especially, I can kind of think, I mean, our kids probably never realized that there was a time or a season in the beginning of our marriage that, like, I had to go, hey, Dad, can I get some milk? Because I don't have any milk today.
Yeah.
So maybe we didn't talk about that, but being able to
take the mask off. You got to take the mask off, because I think it's helped our kids be
better. Our kids are better than we were. Yeah. I mean, two of our children are married, and they both, on their own, saving, learning principles.
We have three kids. You said both.
Both of our girls that are married.
Oh, my bad.
Two of our children are married. Maybe Jen. I'm plugging for you, but they made commitments that when they started to get jobs that they were going to put certain money aside so that they didn't. It was probably 10 years before Dave and I owned our first house. And, yeah. You know, the amazing thing is because we were able to talk about some of those things that we had challenges in, it caused our kids to do things a little bit better. And yeah. And they started out in a better position in many ways than even we did, but we were able to talk about those things.
Yeah. Pull up definition of masquerade, Mike, so we can wrap this up. Because tomorrow we're going to shift gears. We're talking about masks still, but tomorrow we're going a different direction. So we want to make sure we wrap up this. You know what? Diana hit it on the head there. Her and I, you know, we didn't realize what we... Listen, this wasn't us using wisdom. This was just us being ignorant. But now we can look at our ignorance and go, you know what? That's actually not that bad of a thing to do. So we didn't have this story, you know, during these things. We just kind of like, you know, fell into it. But a masquerade, we didn't masquerade things. You know, if anything, we probably should have worn some masks sometimes. But a masquerade, the definition of that is a false show or pretense. And the other definition is pretend to be someone you're not. First is identity, right, in Christ. And what does identity in Christ mean? We talked about identity a minute ago, but identity in Christ means our identity. Listen to this. Listen to the difference in the two parties. You go to a masquerade party. You're around people. You're around people that are there for maybe some of the same reasons. You know, people have a mask on for a different reason, but they're there for the same reason. And then you're gathered around it, but everybody's putting on a false show or pretense. That's the world, right? They're searching. They're searching for something. They're not happy in their own skin. They're not comfortable because the creator that made them left a void there that only he can fill. You know, and then they're pretending to be somebody they're not. They're trying to get likes. They're trying to get, you know, comments. They're trying to get followers. They're trying to make it. They're trying to build this brand, this business. They're trying to get this relationship, this woman, this man. They're doing all these things. And listen, I get that. But they're trying to fill a void all the while wearing a mask. And here's the thing. The difference in identity in Christ and what it means is our identity in Christ means we're surrounded by a community of believers. This is Google. What does identity in Christ mean? Identity in Christ means we're surrounded by a community of believers who provide love and support and help us grow. So you can take the mask off. You can take the mask off. The difference is you can walk into a church. You're still around people. People are there for the same reason. They're there because they're trying to take the mask off just like you did. They're trying to find their true identity just like you are. They're trying to find answers in the right place just like you are. They don't have all the answers just like you don't. And it's a community of believers who provide love and support and help us grow. There's a difference. You don't have to masquerade. You don't have to masquerade. You can find your identity and realize your identity is only going to be found in Jesus Christ.
I mean, I feel like we have to talk about this, a scripture, yeah, and it's Lord. In Psalms. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. Mm. You know when I sit down and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You're familiar with all my ways. Even when we put our mask, he's familiar with all of our ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. For you created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Psalm 139, 1 through 4, verse 13. So he knows us. Mm. So even though it may be sometimes in a situation we walk into a thing, we may feel like we need to have a mask, but we can come without the mask before the Lord and apply the blood of Christ to cover. A mask is a covering. The blood of Jesus is the ultimate mask covering from who we were and who we are now in him.
Amen. Amen. Good stuff. Boom. Don't miss tomorrow. Mike got his butterfly mask on.
Thank you all for tuning in today. We hope you guys are enjoying this series on masks. If you guys would like, we have a daily encouragement text that goes out every single morning at 8:30. You guys can opt into it for free by texting the letters EZGC to 813-522-3356. If you guys, to everybody that's joining us live every single morning on Facebook and YouTube, we appreciate you always being here. The hearts, the emojis, the reactions, the comments, we appreciate them. But if you can't make it to the live stream, you can always catch up with us in two different ways. Number one, go to YouTube, David Villa, or it's Game Changer Podcast Live. Sorry, I have to get that right. Game Changer Podcast Live. Go to the YouTube channel, subscribe, and hit the bell. We upload the replay of the episode every single day at 3 o'clock. You can also catch us on your favorite podcasting platforms, the biggest ones being Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. Make sure you subscribe to us on whichever one you listen to. To anybody who's listening or watching on replay on any of them before mentioned avenues, you guys can always join us live every single morning at 8:30 a.m. EST on Facebook and YouTube. Just search David Villa Game Changer and we will come right up. If you guys haven't, make sure you check out the featured Bible plan of the week, God Said, which is a six-day plan on YouVersion and the Bible app. Make sure you subscribe to it, read through it, then let us know what you think about it. But thank you all for joining us today. We hope you guys are enjoying this series on Mass. We'll see you bright and early tomorrow morning at 8:30 a.m. EST. And on that note,
we out. Thanks so much for listening. If you're enjoying the podcast and you want to connect further, check out the David Villa's Game Changer group on Facebook. We'll see you next time on the next episode of Game Changer.